This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The PEI government announced last week that it's moving to provide abortion services to women on the island for the first time in almost 35 years. Premier Wade McLaughlin said the province is asking Health PEI to plan for a new women's reproductive health center that will offer a number of services, including medical and surgical abortions. The announcement is a huge victory for pro-choice activists who've been fighting to restore access since it was lost in the early 1980s. Colleen McQuarrie has been involved in the issue for 28 years. She began organizing in earnest in 2010 when she started a research project that looked at the impact of the abortion policy on women's lives. Colleen McQuarrie is co-founder of Abortion Access Now, PEI. On January 5th, the group announced it would take the province to court, a legal challenge which led the government to change its policy. Colleen McQuarrie joins me by phone this morning from PEI. Hello, Colleen.
Good morning.
What was the research project that you undertook in 2010?
We began conversations with women who had tried to access abortion services in Prince Edward Island and had found various obstacles, including being completely blocked from access. And we also spoke with people who had tried to help women to access safe abortion services, as well as physicians who were trying to provide various kinds of services to women. And the most, shocking thing for us was the level and the depth of self-harm that we early, in the early stages of the program, we uncovered this. And so we were quite alarmed and sent that information through to the province, hoping that they would really listen to women's experiences and how their lives were being harmed by these policies.
When you say self-harm, you mean that women were actually physically hurting themselves in an attempt to produce an abortion?
Yes. So we heard stories that women, in hopes of perhaps creating a spontaneous abortion, would subscribe to abortion myths as to how, if falling downstairs, and you couldn't do that when you were, sober, so becoming stoned or consuming alcohol in an attempt to relax your body enough so that the fall would be hard enough to self-induce, through to trying various chemical concoctions that were thought to perhaps create a poisoning in the body just enough to create miscarriage, through to physical having a boyfriend punch them in the stomach repeatedly. So there were enough examples of this to raise the alarm in the sense that there was such a lack of information as to how in the heavens you could access abortion here. I mean, it was 2011 and I still had women saying they didn't know how they could access abortion. And so it was in the context of this information gap and utter desperation that women were doing things that they certainly ordinarily would never have considered. And, I mean, there were just, it was such a stigma around even asking for abortion. So there were lots of delays in women even being able to figure out who to ask for this help. I posed as an abortion seeker and phoned the Department of Health in 2011 before we started the project, just to get a sense of what's it like when a woman needs an abortion right now in Prince Edward Island. And even the Department of Health could not give me the information. The woman wanted to tell me. She was earnestly trying to find the information within her own health system, and she came back and said, "My dear, I can't find any information, but I think if you go to Women's Network, they might be able to help you." Now, what your listeners should know is Women's Network is a volunteer, not-for-profit organization. They certainly shouldn't be in the business of primary health care delivery.
What did the government say when you presented them with the evidence that you'd collected?
This was the most disappointing part of the whole journey. In the early days, we thought that if we showed government evidence, and I have been an evaluation consultant employed with the government for about a decade, and I'm now a tenured university professor. I believed strongly in evidence-based medicine, and I was confident that when we showed them the robust and preliminary findings of self-harm, that the government would respond in kind. And I was very badly mistaken. Instead, we were met with almost a callous disregard in 2013 when the health system or the CEO of Health PEI just seemed to be unaffected by this, and the government, the Minister of Health and the Premier at the time, repeatedly said, you know, this is a good compromise. Women's health is a good compromise against the fact that there's an anti-choice lobby here. And so we think this is a good compromise, and very disappointing behavior on the behalf of government, really, and health system personnel.
In some of my reading about this yesterday, I came across somebody from the government saying that, well, PEI can't provide every service.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a red herring and a ridiculous one at that. So there's a few points I want to make to that old argument, which, of course, they've shown now they certainly can provide this. But at the time, you have to consider that there were women who were receiving what you would consider abortion services, DNCs, in the province, and women who were offered these if their pregnancy was not viable. That is, if the physician deemed that if the pregnancy wasn't viable, then a woman could have the procedure. So the fact that the procedure was happening as long as it wasn't a woman's request, shows, that's one point. Second point, a business case at the time showed that it would be, and I guess I have to back up a little on that, a group of people within Health PEI were sympathetic to the evidence and wanted to find a way to repatriate care, that is to start providing abortion services locally. And they showed that, in fact, it would save the province money to provide the service here, that there are physicians who are ready, willing, and able to do this and who would come here from a neighboring province if need be. And finally, it was lumping abortion, which is a simple 10-minute procedure that is akin to ambulatory care, conscious sedation, not much different really from other procedures they do here routinely. It was lumping that into specialized medicine such as cardiac care and possibly brain surgery. I mean, come on, that's a bit ridiculous to put abortion in the same line, because abortion is a primary health care service.
Presumably the people within Health PEI who said that there was a business case for abortion took it to the government, did they?
So the way the system is structured is there's an arm's length body called Health PEI that is charged with delivering the services for the province, and the Minister of Health and the Premier set the policy or the tones for Health PEI to follow. At the procedural level, a subcommittee within Health PEI had formed and had created the business case, and they were instructed by the CEO of Health PEI not to put their business case forward. That is, they tried to block it without leaving that committee and moving on to the Health Services Committee. The person in charge of that, Dr. Henderson, respectfully declined the order and submitted it to the committee for consideration anyway. And we held a press conference on May 28th of 2014 exposing the political interference of the Premier and the Minister of Health in shutting down that business case. So they had to do a direct political intervention to silence the evidence.
Where did the idea of a legal case come from?
Well, I think ever since 1988, when the Morgenthaler decision came down, and PEI consistently found itself in the anti-choice camp. And in fact, PEI proudly proclaimed itself on March 30th, almost 28 days to the day when they brought abortion services back. But on March 28th, 1988, in the provincial legislature, in response to the Morgenthaler decision, the province said that they were an anti-choice province, and they basically declared that abortion would not be allowed here. Fast forward, as time goes on and women and various organizations are working to bring care back, everyone is saying, this is against the law. It's a human right. The Supreme Court put this to rest. But of course, it takes a lot of time and energy and money to launch a charter challenge. And it's not something that can just be done at the drop of a hat. So in August of 2014, I had organized an international conference on abortion, the first scholarly conference on abortion in Canada, in Charlottetown. And at that conference, there were scholars, legal scholars, as well as academics and activists from around the world. And we held a working group to look at some of the legal access issues. And it was at that point that people started to look at various legal challenges. So from 2014 through to January 5th, 2015, we were looking at the legal case. The intention was always to find alternate ways for the government to reconsider its policies and to provide the service, because we really didn't want to have to go to court for our human rights in Canada. We thought that women's human rights should be enough for the government to listen to, and the evidence was clear. So it was always a bit of a sore point with us when the government continuously said that making women leave the province was a good compromise, when we knew the compromise was on their health, on their lives in some cases. So that's where it came from. And then it was essential that the Legal Education Action Fund of Canada step up to support us. Without the work of LEAF Canada in helping us to secure two crackerjack lawyers, Nasha Najawan and Kelly McMillan, we would not have been able to create the kind of case that was pretty compelling. They worked hard over a whole year, partially pro bono, partially funded by LEAF, and they created a 160-point case that made the lawyers for the government sit up and take notice. So I'm really proud of the work that they did on our behalf. They used the evidence from the research project to weave in to the 160 points of law.
How long did it take the government lawyers to realize that they couldn't win the case?
Well, we filed on January 5th, and they had 90 days. So the way the structure is here, you need to give notice to the government, and then 90 days after notice, you can file your papers in the court, a Supreme Court of PEI. And we were organizing for filing those on Monday, when we got word that the province was planning to do an announcement 4 days ahead of that. So, and the announcement was, of course, that they would not only repeal the regulations prohibiting abortion services in Prince Edward Island, but they would go one better. They would immediately instruct Health PEI to set up a clinic that would include, among other things, medical and surgical abortion, but also lots of supports. And we're hoping now to work with them to make it a sexual and reproductive health clinic, where with an even expanded list of services. And most importantly, the intention, they picked up very clearly what many pro-choice activists were saying: do not make this a service that is isolated from the health system integrated in so that anyone who wishes to protest it will look quite ridiculous. So if the service is provided in the hospital, it would be really hard to isolate and stigmatize the people who are using the service if it's sort of part of the regular health system, which it should be.
Well, huge congratulations, Colleen.
Thank you.
It must be quite incredible to you.
Well, it just shows that you don't give up when you've got an injustice in your community. You really need to link arms together and look around and say, who can help me with this? I have been so inspired by the various activists who've just popped up and done their own everything from a scream choir to graffiti art to just the most poetic and inspirational group of people. So I think it's a testament to what happens when people come together and bring all their skills on an issue. So it was necessary for all of this.
Thanks so much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Colleen McQuarrie. She is a spokesperson with Abortion Access Now, PEI.